turn over to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, if you have your Bibles there. And that song's good. We are all born to serve the Lord. And I appreciate Brother Heitch this morning in Sunday school going over what he's covering on why we are independent Baptists. And he's going to continue to do that the first Sunday of each month. And everything that he's teaching and everything that we do is based on the Word of God. That has to be the foundation of our church, of our Christian life, of a marriage, of a family, of raising children. Everything that we do, the Word of God must be the foundation. And I'll go a step further and say that we believe here that the King James Bible is the perfect and inerrant Word of God. And if you have any other version there, it's an unstable foundation. Miss Jones, Sister Jones, gave this to me this morning. And I want to read it for you. It says, "I want to be so full of Christ that if a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing, 'There is power in the blood.'" Amen. I like that a whole lot. So, that's full of Christ right there, isn't it? Mosquito goes away finding Jesus. I want to be so full of Christ that every person that I come across in my life leaves to be a better person. Not because of me, but because of who Jesus Christ is. And He's the answer to everything. All right, Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 1. We're going to read the first three verses here. And I had a message that I've been thinking about for weeks now, what I was going to preach this morning. And for some reason last night, God just really put this one on my heart and kind of changed it. And I don't know when I'll be able to preach the other one. Whenever He tells me is when I'll do it. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." Verse number 2, "And he answered and said unto them, 'When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?'" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to tell you this morning that I love you, and I thank you for being my God, and I want to thank you for being my Savior, Lord. And I thank you for the precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, God, to pay for my sins, Lord, so I didn't have to go to a real place called hell, Father, Lord. And I get to be in heaven with you, and God, you get to be my God and my Savior, and you bless me every day. And Father, we can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. And God, we can't thank you enough for this past year, Father God, and how you've blessed our church and you blessed our families, Father. We've seen souls saved, and God, we've seen some families fixed, God, and we've seen you do a mighty, mighty work. But Father, Lord, as we get ready to go into this next year, Father, I pray, God, you'd help us to draw even closer to you, Father. I pray you'd help us to, God's have a vision, Lord, to see more souls saved and to have more work done for you until you return. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be able to discern the signs of the times, God, that we live in today and realize that we need you more than we've ever needed you in our life before. And God, I pray you bless this morning. I pray, God, you be with each and every person that's out today. Lord, there's many that are sick amongst us, Father. I pray, God, you'd help them. Father, you'd heal them up, bring them back to us. Lord, let them know that we miss them, that they're not here. And pray, God, I pray you bless this message this morning, the fellowship to follow. And God, may you get all the glory, the praise, and the honor out of everything that's said and done. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Anticipating God in 2016. Anticipating God. Here we find in our text passage here that these Pharisees with the Sadducees. And the Sadducees, do you know why they were sad? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad. They call them Sadducees, amen? The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and they wanted a sign from heaven. And the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 1:21, it says that the Jews require a sign. They are always looking for a sign. But Jesus Christ came and He died on that cross for the souls of men, and He gave us this Word today. But you know, there's still people today, they want to see a sign. They want a 9-foot Jesus to show up in a dream of theirs and to give them some kind of sign from heaven. But God gave us His precious Bible right here, and this is all that we need for a sign, is the precious Word of God. And Jesus rebukes them by saying that you can determine from the skies what's going to happen. What is the old saying, a red sky at night is a sailor's delight, a red sky in the morning is a sailor's warning? That came from right here in the Scriptures. And He said, you can look up and you can determine the signs. And man, I'm telling you, in society today, you can look at the politicians, you can look at the economists, you can look at the doctors, you can look at all these different things, and they have a forecast for what's to come in 2016. They got people that'll tell you what the market's going to do this year. And they got people to tell you what they believe the weather's going to do. They never get it 100% right on the weather, though. They've been trying for a long time, but God is in charge of it. Amen. They get that thing wrong all the time. If they say it's going to be a foot of snow, the sun's going to be out, you need to get out your short sleeve shirts, amen, and put up the jackets. But they get that weather wrong all the time. But they predict what the weather's going to be like, and they predict and they try to forecast all the things to come. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we do not know what is on tomorrow. We don't even know that we'll be here tomorrow. Do you know what I would like to see? I'd like to see the skies open up and Jesus Christ call us home to go to heaven. Man, I'd love to see that. I got them three little sick kids at home, man, and I'm hoping they get to feeling better soon. And we got all these things, and we've got plans, and we're planning on having a revival in a few weeks, and we're planning on the first Sunday of every month learning why we're Independent Baptists, and we got planning on going to a youth rally this weekend, and we make all these plans, but we don't know what's on tomorrow. But you know the only thing that I can participate in 2016, and that's God. That God's going to do what God wants to do. Amen. And that God is, He's still on the throne and He's still in charge. Do you think for 1 minute God's up there wringing His hands worried about what the finances is going to be like in the country next year? Do you think He's worried about whether or not Congress could pass the budget? And do you think He's worried about all these things? God's not worried for 1 minute about those things. 2015 is gone. Do you realize whatever you wanted to accomplish in 2015, it's too late? Amen? It is too late. I wanted to lose weight in 2015, I gained weight. It's too late. I can't go back and change that. 2016 is what ahead of me now. But I'd like to say that, man, we need to anticipate God in 2016. And 2015 is past. But as a way of introduction, can I say this morning, that there are yet many people that need to be saved. God has not come back yet. That's evident. He has not been back yet. And you say, hey, why hasn't God come back yet? Or how do you know that God's still saving people? I know that God's still saving people because He hasn't come back yet. Amen? Until He comes back, there are yet many souls that need to be saved. God's left us here for a purpose, and that is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what I can anticipate from God in 2016? Until He comes back, He's going to keep saving souls. So where does that leave me, or where does that leave our church? It leaves us by telling other people about Jesus Christ. Man, Brother Matt this morning, he got him a handful of tracks. He's holding one right there. You know what that is? Hey, we're going out telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. There's yet many souls that need to be saved. And as I look back on 2015, I see some areas that I could have done better. We all do, if we'd be honest with ourselves this morning. There's more people we could have told. There's more tracks that we could have given out. But there's yet many that need to be saved. Everybody in Hayden or Warrior, Alabama is not saved. Right. Can I get an amen there? Y'all know that? Everybody's not saved. And there's still many that need to be saved. The Lord has instructed the church to go into the entire world and preach the gospel. There are yet many that need to be saved. Not only that, there are yet many that needing salvation, but there is yet much truth to be proclaimed. You know, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 through 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has preserved His Word. And you realize that there is much truth to be proclaimed. I'm telling you this morning, Brother Heitz said it during Sunday school, God has established the church to preserve His Word. God uses His church as the means to carry out, as the funnel to carry out the Word of God. God did not call the church to be an entertainment hall. God did not call out the church to be a singing facility, to have singings and to have all those things. And there's nothing wrong with having those every now and again, but that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to proclaim the Word of God.
Amen.
And there's much Word to be proclaimed. I'm telling you today that the church as a whole is the farthest it's ever been from the Word of God. The structure of the church. Do you realize the church is not an American institution? It's not. The church is not an American institution. It's a God institution.
Yeah.
And it's God's given us the instructions in His Word. But most churches today are set up, they've been Americanized. They want to entertain everybody. And they want to say you can come however you want, you can dress however you want, you can do whatever you want. But that is not how it is. We serve a holy, righteous God.
Amen.
And you know what, 2016, Brother Terry, there's a lot of truth that needs to be proclaimed.
Yes.
You know, there's some people that they might be saved and praise God for it, but they need to get back to living according to the Word of God and what the Bible says that we're supposed to do as a Christian. There's a lot of truth to be proclaimed. I'm teaching Sunday school. Brother Hodges is teaching on why we're independent Baptists. You know what that is? That's proclaiming the truth to help us as a child of God to be closer to Him.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I want to be closer to God this year than I've ever been in my life. You say, that's what I wanted last year. Yeah, and I want to get even closer this year. Can I help you? You haven't arrived. Amen? I see a bunch of halos in here this morning. I don't have a halo. I have not arrived. Amen. Until they dig that hole and put your body in the ground, or that trumpet blows and you go up to heaven, you have not arrived.
Amen.
There's all things that we can do in our lives. But you know, one of them is to proclaim the Word of God, to get in this Word of God more than we ever have to get in God's Word. I know people every year, at the first of the year, they purpose in their heart to try to read the Bible through the entire year. And there's folks, and that's a good thing to do. Amen? But you know how long that lasts sometimes? About 3 days. And then stuff comes up and all these things. But we need to get in God's Word. 2016 needs to be a time of proclamation of the Word of God. This world needs to hear that God is a holy, righteous God and that He's coming back one day. Those that are lost need to hear that He's coming back, and if they don't accept Christ, they're going to die and go to hell. You don't have to be mean when you tell them, but they need to know that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and that God did that so they don't have to go to hell. And you know what Christians need to be told in these last days? Hey, you need to... My dad used to tell me, and I tell my kids now, my dad used to say, you need to straighten up and fly right. My dad, he used to tell me that all the time. Boy, you need to straighten up and fly right. And I tell Elijah that, and he's 3, and he don't have a clue what it means. He just says, yes, sir. Straighten up and fly right. Amen. Lose the attitude. Make some better decisions. And you know what God wants His church to do? He wants them to straighten up and fly right. He wants them to start making better decisions. And He wants them to start falling in love with His Word and reading His Bible and following the precepts in God's Word. God lays out things for our family, for our home, for our church in His precious Word. And there is yet truth that needs to be proclaimed in 2016. I was listening to Mays Jackson on the way to church this morning. Anybody ever heard of Mays Jackson? There's a few in here. Man, that old preacher, man, he preached all over this area. He preached all over the place. Man, I'm telling you that the church, our church right now, probably couldn't handle his preaching. I'm telling you the truth, and you're looking at me funny, but I'm telling you, he got up and he preached against everything. He did. I was listening to him this morning, and I wanted to crawl under the seat in my car driving to church. He preached against everything, and them old preachers did, but we've come a long way in our churches. Man, if the preacher gets up and preaches about dressing right, and that you need to dress right, not just at church, but all the time, they get mad and leave the church and go down to the one down the road where you can dress however you want. Preach against music. Man, music has a hold on people.
Yeah.
You know what we need to get back to in 2016? It doesn't matter if we have 5 people or 500 people, we're going to preach God's Word and we're going to do it right. And we're going to stick with the Bible. And it doesn't matter what we believe, what does the Word of God say? When I first came here back in May and we decided to start the church and get going, I told you from the very beginning, this is the foundation right here. Am I perfect? Are we perfect? Do we have it all right? No, but we're going to do the best we can according to God's Word. Amen? And so there's yet much truth to be proclaimed in 2016. The Lord's churches are supposed to preserve the truth. We're not finished yet. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and the ground of truth." If the church doesn't have the truth, if the church doesn't preach the truth, how are we going to get it? We're not. Amen? The church has to be that foundation for the truth of the Word of God. Alright, there's yet many that need to be saved. There's yet much truth to be proclaimed. And I'm here to tell you tonight, or this morning, that there's a lot of work to be done. There's much work to be done. There's souls that need to be saved. There's Christians that need to mature. There's Christians that need to grow. Hey, there's a lot of work to be done. I handed out that flyer 2016, and we got some more up here if you didn't get one. Just a bunch of dates for next year. And every one of the things on there are set up and designed to get you closer to God in 2016. Every one of them, amen, are designed to get you closer to God in 2016. All right, let me give you the message this morning. Spiritually speaking, we would be wise to look into our immediate future and see what God has for us in 2016. You realize what we anticipate seldomly occurs. Things you look forward to doing, man. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was looking forward to this Sunday. It's like, man, we're gonna have a house full. Last Sunday night, during our Christmas play, we had over 100 people in this church. That's the most that some of them told me that they've ever seen in this church. There was over 100 folks here. And man, I'm praising God. Man, excited about this morning. And all of a sudden, everybody gets sick. You can never anticipate what's going to take place. And usually what you least expect is what's going to happen. It happens all the time, but there's one thing that you can count on, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful. I want to give you this message right here. Before I give you this, let me say this one last thing. What are some things that we can expect God to do in 2016? In this year that's coming up, what are some things that we can anticipate from God? Where will we be this time next year? This time, if the Lord tarries next year, where are we going to be? And let me ask you this, are we going to be any closer to God? I would like to say yes, we will. Amen? I want to be. I have a desire to be closer to God. But do you realize that the sad truth is that even in a church our size, then next year, if God tarries, next year there'll be some people that might not be with us anymore. We don't know what's on tomorrow, do we? We don't know what's going to happen. We might have some new families. We might lose some families. We don't know what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, our desire is for you to be closer to God this time next year. Yeah. That's my desire, amen? All right, so anticipating God in 2016. Let me give you these quickly. I can smell that food. Is that door open? Amen. Anticipating God in 2016. All right, let me say first of all that I'm anticipating God's grace. God will save. I believe that God will save. Some Christians believe that God is going out of the saving business, but we as Bible-believing Christian know that God is still saving and God's still on the throne and God still uses people to win other people to the Lord. Amen. I'm anticipating God to save in 2016. There's some people that say, and they believe in God's saving power. They believe that God still saves, but their actions are totally different. Their actions are totally different. You say, what do you mean, Brother Andrew? I mean, we believe that God still saves, and we believe that God can still save someone, but we might have somebody in our life that, well, I don't know if they're worth saving. I don't know if God could really save them out of their situation. I'm telling you, Brother Hyde said it this morning down there in them prisons, God can save anybody. There's some of you here this morning, it's by the grace of God that you're even in church today. God can save anybody. We say we believe that God will save, but we won't give them a gospel track or tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm anticipating God's grace in 2016. I'm anticipating that God will still save. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why He came, was to save sinners. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is still saving. And I believe in 2016, I'm anticipating that God's going to save. Man, we've got a lot of kids in our church. I know you can't tell this morning because most of them are homesick. But we've got a lot of kids. And you know, some of those kids are getting to that age where they're starting to understand more. They're reaching that age of accountability. And you know what I'm anticipating, Sister Hodge? I'm anticipating that God will save some of these kids this year. Man, I'm anticipating that. I'm trusting that their families are going to be doing devotions with them and praying with them and getting closer to God's Word, and that God will save some of these kids. I'm anticipating that, man, God will send us some families that need help, and we'll be able to help, and we'll see some people get saved. Man, I'm telling you, my brother-in-law, Nick, they're not here this morning. This weekend was their anniversary. They got married on January the 1st, a couple years ago, and so they're on a little getaway, amen? That's a good thing, get away for a little while. And so they're enjoying their anniversary. But man, a couple years ago when he met my sister and they started courting or dating or whatever they were doing there, we started praying for him, and he said he was saved, but there was something off. And we've been praying for him and praying for him. And man, that Sunday when he came down to the altar, I believe Brother Hodge, you talked to him, didn't you? Down here at the altar, man, that thrilled my soul that God saved him. Remember when Brother Matt got saved, amen? And Brother, I can go around the room, Brother Zach, when he got saved, and God saving people. I'm anticipating God's going to do that again this year. You say, Brother Andrew, what can I forecast for the future? We don't know what the weather's going to be like. We don't know if we'll get 100-degree weather or snow. We don't know what the finance is going to do, if the market's going to crash. We don't know any of those things. We don't know if there's going to be a big terrorist plot, but there's one thing that I can anticipate, and that's God. I'm anticipating if God doesn't come back, He's going to save some folks. And you know what? I want to be a part of it, Brother Philip. Amen. I want to be a part of it. My daughter, she's 6 years old. She got saved last January. But now I have a son and another daughter. And I'm anticipating that God's going to save them. And man, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay with God. I want to stay faithful. I want to stay in church. I'm going to stay in my Bible. I'm going to stay praying, anticipating that God's going to save. How would you like to be the reason why somebody didn't get saved? What a tragedy. What if the Sunday that God had placed the message on the preacher's heart, and I believe God puts messages on preachers' hearts, amen? God placed a message on the preacher's heart that was going to be for your son or your daughter, and that was the Sunday you decided you didn't want to go to church. Man, what a shame. Now, God is merciful, and He's righteous, and He's going to give that young man or young lady an opportunity to be saved. And God's, at one point or another in their life, the Holy Spirit of God's going to draw them to salvation. And I believe that, but I'd hate for me to be a hindrance in that. Get mad. Man, I'm telling you, this church is all over the place. They stand up and they preach the Word of God, and somebody gets mad at the preacher because he didn't shake their hand, and they get out of church. People leave church for the dumbest reasons. Now, if you go to church and they're dead and they're dry, they don't use the right Bible, man, and it's just like going to a funeral home, then go find you a good church to get in. But there's people that get upset at the smallest things. Preacher's wife didn't shake my hand. Amen. My wife tries to get around and shake everybody's hand, but we have a little baby that still is nursing, and sometimes she's feeding the baby and she can't get around to everybody. But you know, there's people that get mad about stuff like that. I come to church for one reason. I love this church. I love our church family, our fellowship. But the reason why we come together at White Oak Independent Baptist Church is for the Lord Jesus Christ, for Him to be magnified, for Him to be lifted up. And that's why I come to church, and that's why I love the opportunity to worship with each one of you, but it's for Him. You say, hey, we're missing over half our church this morning. That's all right. We're here for Him. I'm not here for those other folks. I'm here for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a fellowship after this, and we're going to go back and we're going to sit around and have some food and fellowship and a good time, and that's great. But I'm telling you, the reason for the church is for Jesus Christ. And I'm anticipating God's going to save in 2016. Amen. I'm anticipating that God's going to save some of these kids. I'm anticipating that God's going to send us some folks. I'm anticipating that we're going to be able to get out these doors and give out those gospel tracts and knock on some doors and see people get saved. At the end of this month, we're going to have the Voices of White Oak Revival. And we got the Bible teacher, Brother Dennis Hodge, is going to be preaching for us, and Evangelist Josh Hickey, amen. And Brother Zane's going to be preaching. And I encourage everybody in the church to be here. Come to the revival, but invite somebody with you. And I've asked them to preach about salvation. An evangelistic revival, and it's going to be focused on salvation and leading others to Christ and seeing people get saved. Because you know what we need in 2016? We need to see people get saved. We could go through a whole nother year and we could make it to the end of next year and we could say we grew the church to over 1,000 people, whatever you want to do, and go on and on, but if people don't get saved, what are we doing? If people aren't getting help, Joel Osteen, amen, that smiling mule out there in Texas, got that big old church. He got the Astrodome for his church. The Astrodome. I'm talking about tens of thousands of people in that place. And why is Houston not turned upside down for God? Why? They're not preaching anything. If he's your hero this morning, I'm sorry that he's your hero. I'm not sorry for saying it. I'm sorry that he's your hero. But I'm telling you, hey, they have a lesbian for a mayor. How could you have a church that big? Are y'all okay this morning?
Amen.
How can you have a church that big and that many so-called Christians in that town not be turned upside down for God? It blows my mind. Why? They're not preaching God's word. You know the message being preached? It's all about you and whatever makes you happy and whatever pleases you, and you can dress how you want, do what you want, as long as you're happy. You know what the message from that book is? It's all about Jesus Christ. What makes Him happy? What pleases Him? And I need to change my life and conform it to please Him.
Amen.
And that's what it should be. And you know how you're going to turn a city upside down for God? Live for Christ. Magnify Him. Lift Him up. And when they see your life, they see Jesus Christ, and that's what's going to make a difference. That's what's going to make a difference. At my workplace, I'm an operations manager, a service specialist, and I do estimation and parts, and I believe I do a good job at that, and I'm an electrician by trade, and I got all these things that I can do that God's given me the ability to do. I can do all those things and be the best I can at it, but if I don't point people to Jesus Christ, I've done nothing. I've done absolutely nothing. You know what I can use? I can use what God's given me at my workplace to point people to Jesus Christ. They say, Andrew, man, you've done a good job. You know what I say? Thank the Lord for it. The Lord's the one that's helped me do this. It's by His grace and His mercy. You know what I'm anticipating? Hey, if you're not anticipating this and you don't want to see people get saved, then you find something else better to do. I think God's going to save some folks this year. Amen. Anticipating God in 2016. Looking forward to God saving somebody. You know what I'm praying? This is selfish. I'm praying God saves my son. Amen. Save these kids in this church. I want to see everybody get saved. But man, I want to see God save these young folks in our church and be saved from a lifetime of heartache and a lifetime of hell and misery. I want to see God save them. Amen. Anticipating God will save. Anticipating His grace. Not only anticipating God's grace, anticipating God's goodness. Man, we serve a good God. We serve a good God. Sister Sharon told me last week, she said, do you realize that Sunday before Christmas? She said, do you realize that I, just about every member of my family was in church? And she was in here with most of them. Amen? Just realizing, you know what she was realizing? How good God is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm anticipating in 2016? God's still going to be good. Man, God has blessed me tremendously. God has blessed me more than I could ever imagine or think. God has been good to me. He's blessed me. We should anticipate the spiritual blessings of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Psalms chapter 5 verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor without compassion with a shield. Psalms 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 67:1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. God will bless us as long as we follow Him and stay with Him. God will bless us. Bible says in Psalms 115:3, He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. That fear is not a scared of, that's a reverence fear. That is realizing who He is, and God will bless us. Man, God has been so very good to us. I'm going to finish up here. I feel like I'm losing some of you. God, anticipating God's grace, He will save. Anticipating God's goodness, He will bless. And third of all, I'm anticipating God's guidance. God will lead us. The Bible says that He will never, ever lead us or leave us or forsake us. There are so many people in this world, they do not know where to turn in trouble. They don't know where to go to. Finances, health problems, they don't know where to turn to. But I can tell you who you can turn to. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm anticipating in 2016, Brother Wilburn? I'm anticipating God's going to guide us. He's not going to leave us alone. He doesn't come back, man. And I'm looking for His coming. Man, I would love for Him to come back this year. I would love for Him to come back this morning. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. To come back and take us home. I'm looking forward to Him coming back. The Bible says in John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. I believe that God's going to guide us, and He will lead us in 2016. Brother Heist said this morning in Sunday school, hey, if there's things you don't understand, don't say, well, it's over my head, I'm going to give up on it. Because he's right, man. When you were in first grade, when you first started, it was all over your head. Ella, she's in kindergarten. And we'll sit down at the start of the school year. I could hand her a book and say, all right, well, you read me See Spot Run. She couldn't do it, brother. But guess what she did to me the other day? She sat down and she read me a book about five pages. See Spot, you know, all those things. But starting off the year, she couldn't do that. But you know what? Every day of guidance and my wife teaching and praying, asking God to help her. And next thing you know, over the Christmas break, she sat down. I sat there and cried. I can't believe I got a six-year-old reading a book. Amen. And some of y'all got kids grown. I'm learning. I can't believe how fast they're growing up. But she got that and read that book. You know, it's the same thing in the Christian life with Sunday school. You say, man, I don't understand it all. Well, just keep coming and ask God to guide you and lead you, and God will teach you those things. And God will help you to be a better Christian. He'll help you to be a better steward of His Word. Anticipating God's grace, He will save. Anticipating God's goodness, He will bless. Anticipating God's guidance, He will lead. Anticipating God's governing, He will rule. Amen? He will rule. One day God will be on that throne and He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But can I tell you, until that day comes, He wants to be the God in your life. He wants to have control in your life. And can I tell you this morning, that God's way is the absolute best way. And if you'll let God, He can help you in your life. You say, you don't understand my financial situation. Do you think God cannot handle whatever you're going through? Do you believe that? God can handle anything. Whatever you're going through is not something so big that He cannot handle. This is the last one I'll give you. And this is one I'm anticipating. I mean, I'm anticipating God's grace, He's going to save. I'm anticipating God's goodness, He'll bless. I'm anticipating God's guidance, He will lead. I'm anticipating God's governing, He will rule. But last of all, I'm anticipating God's glory, He will come. Amen. I'm anticipating the glory of God. And I cannot say with any kind of authority that Christ will definitely return in 2016, but I still believe that He's coming back. And I still believe that He's coming back to take His church home. And I'm looking forward to that day when He's coming back. I'm looking forward when He comes back to take His children, and there'll be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more heartache and no more misery and no more death. I'm looking forward to that day. It's probably safe to say that we could go through this room and in some way or another, every person in this room has been affected by death this past year. But man, we're coming to where there'll be no more death and no more pain and no more sorrow. I'm looking forward to that day. Charles Spurgeon, y'all have heard of him. We read the morning devotion Brother Johnny does most Sundays. Charles Spurgeon, when asked if he thought Christ might return soon, said, I think not. After repeating this answer numerous times, someone finally got up enough nerve to ask him, doesn't the Bible command that we anticipate Christ's coming? Why then do you say, I think not? Spurgeon answered, because the Bible says, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He said, do you think he's coming? He said, I think not. Why? Amen. The Bible says there, and I know it's not dispensationally talking about us here, it says return during the tribulation. Believers have looked for Christ's return for over 2,000 years. And in the skeptic's eye, and the people that don't believe the Bible, they think it's silly that we're looking for the return of Christ. But I still believe He's coming back. And I'm anticipating His glory in 2016. The Bible says in John 14:3, and I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John closes the book of Revelation it's with these words, He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And just like the generations before us, man, I guarantee back in the late 1800s, Billy Sunday was preaching He's coming back. Amen. He was preaching He's coming back. Charles Spurgeon was preaching He's coming back. And now in 2016, I still believe He's coming back. I believe He's coming back. Experts all over the world try to predict what's coming in the future. You know what I'm anticipating in 2016? I'm anticipating God. I'm anticipating His grace, and I'm anticipating that He's going to save, and I'm anticipating His goodness and His guidance and His governing, and I'm anticipating His glory. But Brother Andrew, what if He doesn't physically come back in 2016? I'm still expecting His glory. Man, I'm telling you, we've had some services in this church. We started in May. We've had some services that some churches never experience. We've had a few church services that some churches never experience. I'm talking about where God Himself showed up. People got saved. And man, we still haven't even tipped the iceberg of God's glory. You know what I'm anticipating? I'm anticipating God to be with us in this church. I'm anticipating God to show up and to be a part of our services. But you know what all that's dependent on? It's dependent on whether or not we want God. And I want God. I want Him more than anything. I want Him in our church. I want Him in my family. I want Him in my life. I want Him in the car with me going down the road. I don't want to go anywhere without Him. And I'm anticipating the glory of God. Brother Josh, you come, if you would, get around this piano. And let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.